Welcome back. 4:39, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, and RLTV. Check your local cable listings. How's that, Fred?
I think he's got it.
Oh, good. All right, it's Andy Parks and Fred Grandy live from the Washington Times. And, hey, it's time to bring on Charlie Hurd. He writes a column for the Washington Times entitled The Nuclear Option. Today's is all about Washington's financial miscreants suckering us. Hello, Charlie. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I'm doing especially great because I love that slight music. It's got a little Starsky and Hutch beat to it.
Now, here's something funny. You have nailed that. You know what that's called? That's called Huggy's Strut.
All right. Here's your quiz.
That is prime 1984 music.
Who played Huggy Bear on Starsky and Hutch?
Oh, wow. Man, that's a good one.
I'm always the worst at trivia.
Antonio Fargas. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Okay, Charlie, thanks a lot for playing the game. Yes. We'll see you later.
What's my prize?
Well, I'm afraid you didn't get it right. But
okay.
Some lovely Mary Kay cosmetics. Anyway.
All right. I love your column today because, you know, what these lawmakers have done to us is criminal. And, of course, I'm sitting across from one, Charlie.
Oh, please.
But
even the Statue of Limitations would expire on me.
Eight years. 8 years in Congress for Fred Grandy.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering how much damage he did, Charlie.
Well, go back and look at the numbers.
And it's just guilt by association at some point. Because no matter how great of a statesman you were, just by the fact that you were sort of in there while all this this recklessness goes on, it's kind of hard to scrub the stain out.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in a Nathaniel Hawthorne novel now. Big scarlet A on my shirt.
All right. But, you know, despite all of this, Americans reelected Barack Obama. And here's a guy guilty of really suckering us, you know, financially.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to what, you know, you've said, made this point many times, that, you know, he succeeded in making the election about all these other crazy things. It was about dancing horses, and it was about contraception, and all these things. He didn't make it about the fiscal cliff thing. And so, you know, obviously, or financial responsibility for that matter. And so now that the grim reality is getting ready to settle upon us, I guess in one respect it would be easy to say, well, you know, voters are getting what they wanted, what they voted for. Well, they are, but they also, it's not like Obama was going around saying, yeah, oh, don't worry about that fiscal cliff thing, we're just going to cruise right off it, and we're going to keep on spending, and we're not going to stop, you know, we're not going to try to make our government any more efficient. We're just going to keep cruising along and raising the debt ceiling.
We've already played
today about raising the debt ceiling.
Yeah, we've already played a soundbite today from 2011, where he was essentially committing not only to not raising the debt ceiling, but to actually reducing the amount of spending and not raising taxes, which I think tells me, Charlie, that essentially what we've had, maybe up to this point and including this point, is essentially a candidacy that's run by consultants and not the candidates themselves. Now, if we plunge over the fiscal cliff, I don't know how David Axelrod will be able to explain that. Maybe it's high time.
Well, unfortunately, we know that Republicans are generally pretty bad at sort of explaining their position on these things.
So maybe
if he just, you know, shuts up about it, then he'll...
I resemble that remark.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
It really is amazing how President Obama, you know, he also ran on tax cuts, which is, you know, okay, we all agree now, tax cuts are a very good thing, but, I mean, I'm sorry, which group here is concerned about, you know, is more reliable on cutting taxes. There's only one group of people here who wants to raise taxes, that's for sure.
Yeah. Why, I'm going to ask you both this. Why can't there be legislation crafted to make us live within our means?
You mean a balanced budget amendment?
Yeah. Why can't we seem to get that done?
All right, Charlie, you go first, and then I will extend your remarks.
I was going to say the same thing, because you would actually you probably actually know the real reason for it. But my thought on it is that, you know, obviously states do it because you know, Virginia does it, and the reason they do it is because they all have absolute respect for the law and for the Constitution and for the governance. They're, you know, the way that things are governed. Here, even if they had a balanced budget amendment, who would enforce it?
Well,
I don't think it would make a dent in anything.
It would not. And I go back to what I was telling you.
What do you mean it wouldn't make a dent in
I'm telling you what we had. What do you think baseline budgeting is? If you have a balanced budget amendment that allows the budget to go up automatically every year, as it has since 1974, then there really is very little protection. And yes, you're right, Charlie, Virginia does have a balanced budget. But New York uses the same kind of screwed-up accounting as the United States federal government does, and even though Governor Cuomo has complained about it, he's kept it in place.
All right, so it means that you have to have a balanced budget amendment, but you also have to have some type of contraction when it comes to, you know, these automatic increases.
You don't need an amendment. Repeal the Budget Act. Get rid of these stupid rules that Congress made to protect their own entitlements. Are you with me on this, Charlie?
Yeah, no, I agree with all that, but I still think that even if you had, I have no faith that Harry Reid or Nancy Pelosi would actually abide by any sort of cap whatsoever.
Well,
that said you must do this or you must do that in every budget. They didn't even the Senate didn't even approve a budget for what, 4 years in a row?
Yeah. You mean they're supposed to?
Yeah, that's actually the law.
Yeah,
and this is when Democrats ran all all three the White House and both chambers of Congress and in the Senate a filibuster-proof majority, and they still didn't come up with a budget.
Well, you brought up something just a minute ago.
Right.
If it's against the law, why aren't they in jail?
Well, because nobody's ever going to jail on a budget wrap. I mean, come on.
There's
How
a
do you like to
first
explain
for
that to your cellmates?
Really? That's a first for everything.
What are you in for?
Yeah. That's right.
I went over budget.
You know what would happen if we were actually to do that? The first thing Congress would do would be appropriate money to buy a congressional prison so that members would live in the same kind of comfort they're accustomed to while they were serving their hard time.
And it would be virtual bars.
That's right.
It would be on a beach. You'd have to sign in and out, and everything would be paid for.
And you'd have staff.
Right, right.
And you could bring your entire office, and you would have an office allowance.
You could have conjugal visits, but you wouldn't have to use your wife. Right.
And it would be the best prison that we have.
Right.
It would be Gitmo, because we spend more money there than we have anywhere else.
That's the best prison in the system, so let's start there.
No kidding.
Literally the crown of the penal system.
All right, Charlie, get out of here. We'll talk next week. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Good talking to you guys.
See you. Charlie Hurt, Washington Times columnist. If you haven't seen it today, check it out. Washington's financial miscreants sucker us. Well, there's a big surprise.
I love the word miscreant.
All right, 4:47, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks, Fred Grandy, live from the Washington Times. We'll be right back.